John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply, that's tier11.com/apply, and we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good.
Hello and welcome to the Perpetual Traffic Podcast. I'm Ralph Burns, founder of Tier 11, alongside John Moran, some guy, you know, you might have actually listened to him 13 or 14 times prior on Perpetual Traffic. By the way, is our chief strategist over at Tier 11. We've got him back for episode 15. If you go back, if you realize like you've been on this show this many times, it's crazy.
I have apparently a terrible memory because I thought this was like number 4. No. I'm off by 10.
No. I think probably what happened though is that you probably appeared in only like 7 or 8 and then we just divided them into like 2 episodes. Because whenever we get you on, like we can't stop talking about stuff because we're both sort of obsessive about all these traffic solutions here. So maybe that's it. But still, it's like there's 14 episodes. This is your 15th. So...
Well, it's a really nice way to say that I ramble, so I appreciate that.
That's good. Well, whatever it is, people seem to like your rambling. So make sure that, first off, I don't know if we want you to join our Telegram group, quite honestly, because first off, Kasim is a little bit jealous of you because we've been trying to do these shows and getting engagement on Perpetual Traffic for years and years. And like the one show that you did that probably got like 100 people to join our Telegram group was the one that was about the ROAS sucks thing. So, and today we're going to be going into a lot of like your deep thoughts from John Moran, going all the way back to 2021, which is the first time you appeared on this program, which is, man, my God. Oh my God, that's like just barely post-pandemic. But make sure that you do subscribe to our Telegram channel. I don't know as if I want you to subscribe to it, John, because you just get inundated with too many questions. But we'll try and answer those questions on your behalf because I know your time is obviously is very important. But our Telegram is perpetualtraffic.com/Telegram. That's where a lot of the information, a lot of the ideas that we get for our shows now are coming from there because you guys are the listeners. We've created this community, a couple 100,000 downloads every single month, which is cool. But in Telegram, we can actually talk to y'all and find out what's on your mind and what you want to hear about. And today's show is actually an outgrowth of that because what we found is that a lot of people were going back and listening to your previous episodes, John. Like, I don't know if you realize like how big you are in the industry. You're not like a tall guy. We're about like the same size, but you're like mammoth. You're like...
I'm average.
You're like the rock in the digital marketing, especially in the Google Ads industry, even though you weren't ranked number 2 in that stupid ranking thing that Fred Valley's put together. You're like, what, 20, which was ridiculous.
I think 29 or something. That's okay. I'm honored to be on the list.
It's just nice to be here. But what we're finding is that a lot of people, when we do a show with you, they go back and they listen to the previous episodes. I'm like, wait a second. A lot of that is now out of date. So... Today's
every 3 months.
I know it's crazy how quickly it changes. So our producer said, well, let's put together a best of John from all the way back from 2021. I'm like, no, we can't do that because a lot of the things that he talked about in 2021 and 2022 isn't due anymore. So now as the chief strategist of Tier 11, it's like you're in a very different position today. Everything has changed. We've talked about ROAS and how it's sort of a false god. We've also talked about how you've changed your worldview and a lot of the tools that Google uses, as well as just digital marketing in general and how we sort of look at the entire landscape. So maybe if we can sort of think back, harken back to the days of when Performance Max kind of first came out. I know we were all excited about it. You guys jumped on board.
Or beta testers before it went live.
Like you had access to it. So maybe we can start there because I think that's where kind of the John Moran story begins with Perpetual Traffic. And like, how has it changed and why has it changed? Why is it no longer the thing that you really point to? I mean, obviously, we've talked about Google Shopping and how you kind of go for NCAC now and forget about ROAS. But maybe let's start there and then march forward into the strategies that you're working on now.
Yeah, I think that's perfect segue. What's really interesting about Performance Max is I still think it's a useful, viable tool, but the perception as to where and how you would use it is much different when you're talking about the existing traffic your website has, for example, or where people purchase. One thing that I wish I knew back then when I was launching Performance Max campaigns is taking a look at outside of measurement. And it was so clear and obvious right in front of my face the entire time that, hey, this thing has built-in remarketing. I'm like, that's awesome. Then I didn't really realize, oh, it's going to remarket everything. I'm like, uh-oh. Like, that's the part where when you're looking at it, if it's the only channel you're running, is I still run Performance Max on client accounts. And it works well, but you can disrupt that with things that are not even inside of Google at all. And that's what I think is back then I was like, okay, inside of Google, I'm looking at Google and I'm trusting Google. Even when I measure like top line performance metrics, like outside of Google Ads, CAC, MER, LTV, and MER, all the other good stuff, and AOV and everything, I would still see that sometimes Performance Max would show 30% increase in conversion value. And then so did the client in the back end of their Shopify. And then I would see scenarios where it's like a 30% increase in conversion value instead of Performance Max. And then the client would lose like 10 grand.
Right. Right. You're like, what?
Like, wait a minute. What? Right. There's never been a more eye-opening time in my life that I said, hey, look how good Performance Max is doing. And then I got fired because the client was losing money. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense now as to what I was doing wrong. So for those that are running Performance Max, what I wish I knew back then, or if you're running Performance Max and maybe are not thinking about this right now, is that if you're not in control or at least have a very clear line of visibility as to what is going on in all other marketing platforms and even non-paid platforms, organic, sometimes you see that your Performance Max is actually only doing well because you have a massive amount of cold organic traffic that you're not even paying for. That's bringing in users that are also being remarketed, coming back to the brand, but then also it's training that algorithm to show this is where these people are coming from and this is how to monetize them or even try to find more. And so all those things that I wish I knew back then when we were obviously just a Google Ads only agency in my previous life, when I started to take a look at the other platforms and saw how they were interacting with Performance Max, you pierced the veil as to the black box of what Performance Max is, how it's influenced by other channels, how it's increased or decreased by other channels. I have a great use case where my Performance Max campaign that I'm running in an account went from 187, ROAS to a 650 ROAS because we launched YouTube. But what happens when you're not inside of Google Ads and someone else launches a Meta campaign, an X campaign, a TikTok campaign, an email marketing campaign, starts putting their products on Amazon. Now people are Googling you because they found you on Amazon. All those things disrupt Performance Max and it reacts to it. So outside influences making Performance Max reactive is why you can't fully put your trust in Performance Max will always be this static. It won't perform this way. It's influenced heavily. It's like that person that is submissive to everyone else. Hey, I think you should go buy a red card. Like, okay, like that's Performance Max. It just goes and does what it's told by other channels. Very interesting.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic.
Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wouters and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com repetitionking.com/PT. Once again, that's repetitionking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
Well, I guess like use cases for using Performance Max as its the sole campaign type, is it safe to say, I mean, since you've gone from Solutions 8 to Tier 11, but then you had this period where you were also working with other agencies, obviously, that were running other channels, Google Performance Max was now intermingling with these other channels, and then it made it much more challenging to be able to figure out which dials to press here, what was actually driving NCAC, which at the end of the day is the thing that we care probably the most about. I mean, MER is obviously super important, but if I'm an advertiser and I don't have anything going on right now, I'm a local business and I use, let's just say, maybe not local business, but like a service business or a regional business, and all I'm using is Google, would Google Performance Max be the solution for that? Because it's like, that's the single source. I don't have an email list. I don't have any organic. I'm not doing anything on social. If Google is the only place in which I'm actually driving any sort of traffic towards my business, is it safe to say that that's an environment where it's like, all right, single source provider, single campaign type, that might be the best way to approach things. But as soon as I go multi-channel and I actually start to develop at a higher level as a business, that's when it gets more and more complex. And Google Performance Max isn't as helpful. Is that too simplistic a way of thinking about it?
It's close. It's definitely very close. And let's say I'm a dentist in Scottsdale, Arizona, for example. Right. Performance Max can work very well if your business is not, this is going to sound stupid, if your business isn't performing well. So what I mean by that is if you're a dentist that everybody goes to in your area, Performance Max is going to show that you're spending all this money for people to find out when you Google, you know, John Moran Dentistry in Scottsdale, where's Performance Max?
Yeah.
Right. So now you get a whole bunch of brand traffic, which isn't good. A whole bunch of return brand traffic, which isn't good. A whole bunch of return customers, which maybe isn't really good. Because Performance Max has taken over local campaigns, it now has your Google My Business. So your Google My Business is also going to have driving directions, click to calls, all from traffic that you can no longer control because it's reacting to omni or to a traffic agnostic source. So if your business is not well known, yeah, it could be great for you because you're going to show up for things like dentist near me. But as your business starts to perform better and you get more clientele and they start to return to you, you see a decay in Performance Max. And that's what we noticed is that Performance Max can also work really well, even if you're selling shoes online to the world. It can work really, really well until your business starts to perform better. That's where you hit those diminishing returns. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It can launch things, but if you ever start to become well-known in your marketplace, regardless if it's local or national, that's where Performance Max just says, I don't care. I want to track that conversion and I'll get it from anywhere. And that's where it starts to decay.
So where are the guardrails for the company that maybe is a little bit more advanced than that? I'd like to think that the perpetual traffic listener is maybe a little bit beyond that, but it's like, where is it appropriate? Where do you use it right now? Obviously, we've talked about like how you integrate Google Shopping into a lot of this, especially on the e-com side. But like, let's talk about the regional business. We talked to a business that covers the entire state of Virginia for like power washing, and then they do snow removal in the wintertime, which I don't think it actually snows in Virginia. But anyway, but the point is like it's a larger business. They're on a growth trajectory. They've sort of reached this sort of level of scale. They can't quite get there. The only thing they're doing right now is Google. What's the use case for which tool within the Google ecosystem? Or is there is no hard and fast rule, and I'm just the perpetual traffic co-host that's trying to simplify things for the listener here.
It's a scenario specific, but there is some hard, fast rules as to which I would say, Performance Max would or would not work well. And it usually has to do with a few things. So if you're just using Google and you're trying to scale, if You do not have any other traffic coming in from any other sources. And that could be you're not having anybody doing influencers videos for you, and you don't have any organic placements. You don't have a lot of people Googling your brand. You don't have a lot of return customers. Like all the areas that we find pitfalls in Performance Max are usually around those things, like which is it's always a, okay, new company, excellent. Quality product with competitive pricing, awesome. You can launch Performance Max really well because you don't have a brand name for people to search. You don't have existing traffic for those things to be retargeted on. You don't have a lot of omni-channel that is just going to, Google's just going to start to remarket to all the other traffic because you're only running it for that. So those are the things where all of the pitfalls that Google or Performance Max starts to fall into is typically those things. Branded traffic, returning customers, and those are about the three things. So a lot of times you can use those to your advantage, though. I'll run, if there is a low chance of success inside of Google Ads, I will run Performance Max on a low budget as my catch-all and then push harder on things like TikTok and X and Meta, for example. Because now what that's going to do is I always get my omni-channel remarketing, search shopping, YouTube, GSP, Discover Display, all built into one small little campaign. I have complete coverage and awareness of my brand messaging on all those channels. So I have my logo, I have my imagery, I have my, all that stuff is good outside of those other channels. But as I start to perform more top of funnel work in those other channels, you'll see Performance Max is going to show like a 3, 4, 5, 6x return. And it's going to start to look like a performance well. So you can almost use your Performance Max as a, I'm not going to try to push in Google, but I do want to see if my other channels that I may be showing a 0.5 ROAS or a 1 ROAS, is that getting me more inbound brand traffic? Is my remarketing working? They can tell me my time lag, so my sales cycle from when Google first saw them, which means I can remarket a user that came from Meta, for example, within Performance Max. And the time that they start to remarket that user to when they purchase might be a 7-day time lag, which means that's my sales cycle because it's from impression, not click, it's from impression to conversion. So I can see, okay, if we start pushing on these other channels, I have a 7-day lag. Now I know how to operate in those other channels because I know whatever I do over on the other channels is going to take 7 days for it to hit my bank account. Excellent. But I have full coverage of my brand. It's really efficient bids, really low CPCs. It gets priority from Google. But yeah, it's going to try to take credit for all those other channels, which I'm happy with because I needed to start to engage those people on those other channels within Google where I'm not pushing. Mm. So you can use it as kind of like your backup for your baseline.
So if you're starting to get more active on, hey, I'm just going to start like posting YouTube videos at a low level, spending that in my regional area, going back to our regional customer, I'm going to post, you know, success stories of, you know, power washing customers or UGC.
Before and afters.
Before and afters, yeah. You name it. And I'm just going to like boost that out to like the geographic areas that I cover. And all of a sudden I see my Performance Max campaigns like, oh, 200, 300, 400X. That tells me, even though I'm seeing nothing on maybe on the organic side or I can't really measure it, I'm not really super sophisticated, but that's telling me that my marketing is actually working because the Performance Max is like picking up the brand and the other things that I'm doing are actually additive to the business. As long as there's more money in the bank account this week than there was last week or more booked calls or whatever your metric is. So you can kind of use it as you're scaling and growing. If that's your only way in which you're using, you know, paid traffic on Google, you can potentially use it as a proxy for success.
You can use it as a measurement. You can use it as that backup. Typically, when you're in Meta, you focus on low frequency. I want a 2x frequency because I don't want to burn audiences. But that, if you think about it, is a person on average seeing that ad 2 times enough? Maybe not. If it's a high AOV, if it's a service that has a longer sales cycle, you might hit those 2 touch points on Meta and keep going and doing good work inside of Meta. But then Google's coming through and just beating them up for the next 40 days. Excellent. And it's free because it's display traffic. Unless they click, you don't pay. You pay for impressions on Meta, you don't pay for that in Google. So it's a really good way to kind of get that free remarketing. The other thing that, I'll share screen here, is I'll give you a good use case, a good example.
Yeah, and screen time with John is always fun. So make sure that you go to our YouTube channel, perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube, where you can see the screen here as well.
All right.
You can see me in my non-4K camera, which is like glitching out here tonight. So... all right, so definitely check this out, perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. Definitely subscribe as well.
Yeah, this is worthwhile to see this graph. So this is a Performance Max campaign in an account. And you'll see here, this is week over week. And what I'm looking at here is week of September 25th, 2023, week of October 2nd, 2023. And my cost and my conversion value, you'll see all of a sudden the cost spike up on November 6th from $250 that week to $1,200 that week. My conversion value didn't move though. Went from $450 to $650. So all of a sudden you see this conversion value start to go upwards of $650. Next week, $2,300. Next week, $3,500. Next week, $8,000. Next week, $14,000. My costs stayed at $1,000 a week. It didn't move. So all of a sudden Performance Max is like, woo, and just scaling to the moon. And it's doing really, really great, right? Now, the reason why, when you flip over to YouTube in the same view, this is what happened on YouTube. So YouTube spiked up here and started to get more and more people. And when YouTube spiked up, even though the conversions look pretty terrible, the conversion value is not that healthy looking. I don't know how to get conversion value in here. I'll just do this here, the conversion. Oh, well, whatever. So the conversion value, all of a sudden, the conversion started to spike up, and same with the cost. But this cost looks really expensive. Holy crap, $20,000. And we didn't really make too much. Now watch when we combine these two together. When this starts to scale up, there's the conversions and there's the clicks. Everything's looking hunky-dory. But the reason why Performance Max all of a sudden started to look really, really good when you compare the time periods of when we spiked up on YouTube, somehow Performance Max went from spending $5,700 in this four-month period to $17,000 in that four-month period. So a 200% increase in the cost, but at 983% increase in conversion value. So how the heck do you take $11,000 more and go up to $96,000 more? That ROAS just went from 171 up to 612. Good job, Performance Max. Pat yourself on the back. My YouTube campaign only went from 90 to 110.
Yeah.
Turn so think about off. This omni-channel now. Right? So now think about an omni-channel. So if this was Meta coming in and all of a sudden doing really good buying, all of a sudden the Google person's like, holy crap, I got really good this week. I don't know what I did, but I did really good. So you can use your top of funnel to push, but Performance Max will say like, yep, these people are buying. Like the brand all of a sudden got a whole bunch of more brand inbound searches. We actually did get a whole bunch of non-brand searches because Google was learning and it'll bring cold traffic. But the reaction as to which Performance Max moved was caused, the catalyst was top of funnel. But when you can't see that in an isolated one Google Ads account view, that's the reason why I had to try to think elsewhere of how to actually measure good performance, because PMax just went up and down. And I'm like, I'm not touching anything. What is it doing?
But it took a couple of weeks. I mean, I saw that correctly. There was a little bit of lag in the video, but it took 3, 4, 5 weeks for things to kind of catch up.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Performance Max just started spending out of nowhere because it was remarketing all the traffic that is now coming in from YouTube. And then because it had about a 4 to 5 day time lag, that's how long it took to buy one of these products from this company, the conversions all of a sudden started to come in. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I have an ad spend increase. It wasn't crazy. But all of a sudden, you'll see that spike like, oh my God, I don't know why Performance Max is just spending wildly. That's where you have to look at, why is it spending wildly? Where is that traffic source coming from? And this is so sensitive. If you're a big national brand, and all of a sudden you start hiring a bunch of influencers to scream your brand name from the top of mountains, Performance Max is going to start to go haywire.
You're going
to
be like,
has nothing
oh my
to do
God,
with
my
it.
Google guy is all of a sudden a genius.
Right? And then the change history shows nothing, but the Google person was patting themselves on the back.
But this just proves between cross-channel like how important it is. And we have this problem, and I know you have it with Solutions 8 quite a bit, is that you had two teams doing two different things, fighting each other. And you know, in an ideal world, and we've thankfully been able to sort of change this dynamic, you shouldn't spread all your eggs in 5 different baskets. There's one client is in the supplement space with like 4 agencies. None of them were talking to each other and they were all claiming credit. And he's like, my bank account keeps going down and down and down. Like what the
everyone's showing 500
what
ROAS.
What the F is going
except
on?
Except for my bank account.
My Facebook guys say like I have 600% ROAS,
which obviously we're going to leave links in the show notes for that one. Cause you're, I mean, you're starting to cry right now because like people say, you know,
I know.
It wasn't you rubbing my your eyes. It's like 8 o'clock at night here at all. It's like, you're just like being tired of like ROAS is like a bullshit number. But the point is, it's like when you see those things, like you have to have somebody who oversees it all in his understanding of it and says, okay, well, the reason why that looks so good is because of this other thing, which doesn't look all that good.
Exactly. And what's great too is when you have a person or a company or a business or whatever it is that knows how to put the proper pieces of those channels together for a cohesive narrative that's unique to your customer's journey, then you have full control of a clean scale. And it's never the Google team says, I don't know, when you talk to your Facebook teams, ask them why they stink. And then the Facebook team is like going to hop on and be like, nah, talk to your Google people and fire them because they suck. They're both right and wrong at the same time, yeah, which is great.
They're pointing fingers at each other. So, I mean, somebody who's right. listening to this and as a director of marketing or VP of marketing is like, Moran and Burns, they're just trying to get me to hire Tier 11 because I know they now do all that. And we had clients that we did work alongside each other when you were at Solutions 8, which was great because we had communication, but this communication still wasn't that great. It was okay. Like you're still siloed.
It was enough to not hurt.
It was enough to not like be painful and us like stabbing each other in the back all the time. But it's almost like you need to have it all under one roof, which almost tells me, like if I'm a large brand, and I hate to say this as an agency owner because it's not self-serving at all, which I love to say things like this. Like, I want an internal team. Like, I want control over everything that's going on. I want to be able to talk to my Google guy and my Facebook guy and my YouTube guy and my TikTok guy and my organic guy and my social media marketing person, everybody and my content manager, all that all in one room. I want them all in the one room because it doesn't matter anymore. Like, if you're a single source, only we talked about this in the beginning part of the show, if it's like you have one source and that's it. And when we started off, we were the first Facebook ad agency. It was easy. It was like, just ramp up your Facebook. And it wasn't even Meta back then because there was no Instagram. There was nothing else. It was like you had one channel.
Yeah, just hit the gas there and everything else
would be
fine.
And nobody knew how to do SEO because SEO was way too hard. Like, it was clear because I like got out of the SEO game to get into the paid traffic game. Yeah. So it was easy, but now it's complicated. You really do need everything under
we've overcomplicated
roof.
It. What's funny is we've overcomplicated it, us, the
probably,
industry.
Yeah.
And going back to like what we used to produce as content or the previous Perpetual Traffic podcast episodes that I've been on, I think back and I'm like, God, I was so stupid back then. Like, it was pretty good, but it was even like where I'm at today. I'm like, I can't believe I cringe when I make that recommendation now. It's like, never do this, always do that. I'm like, oh man, you're proven right and wrong half the time. But one thing that I think is kind of, I guess I would say a blind spot is, yes, hiring an in-house team can work extremely well. Not to be more self-serving, but those people too, and I'll move on to like the second point that I had here, but the first point I wanted to just kind of quickly cover is in-house teams can work very well because you do have full control of everything. The problem is they're employees, so they don't usually have that kind of like, no, I can get this done for you without your interference. It's usually like, yes, boss, no boss. That's the order taker. Plus, they're not as always experienced because the really good ones are either kind of freelance that charge $20,000 a month or an agency that is working together with the collective amount of people that have been doing this for 5, 10, 15 years kind of thing.
Good point.
But what's funny is we've done this to ourselves in terms of analysis paralysis, I guess I would say. We've looked at too many metrics and said, aha, here's the golden ticket. We're always wrong. One thing that I wish I knew back then, and which is why I wish I never really went down the PMax rabbit hole. I don't regret it, but I put a lot of eggs in that basket and it worked really, really well until you build a brand and then it starts to decay and you can't scale it. But we stopped being good marketers with data.
Yeah,
we did. We stopped being good marketers. That's the problem. Right. But all of a sudden, like, I've been making a really good name for myself and a really good living without basically agencies or anything. It's all regardless of that, by putting myself in a position of, would I really click on that ad from that channel to buy that? Right. And then kind of going with your gut. You know, it's like, could we really sell one sock to people with 2 feet? Well, what if we use this bidding strategy? No. We're not even talking about a bidding strategy yet. This is a bad idea. Or, you know, it's like, why don't we actually put this ad and get these people interested for the ROAS stakes? I don't care. This is good marketing. Let's stop using the metrics to take our good ideas and turn them into bad ideas because the wrong metric was heading in the right direction. Really weird way to think about it.
Yeah. Part of the journey of a media buyer is like it used to be just like the data would just make the decision for you. Now you have to stop and think, and how do I interpret the data as an actual human? What makes sense? It's like, okay, I start YouTube ads and all of a sudden my PMAX campaigns start to increase with ROAS after 3 to 4 weeks. I have to wait the 3 to 4 weeks or whatever it happens to be. The point is like you have to actually start thinking about that. It's not because you're so genius on your Google Performance Max campaigns. It's because you actually started something that was driving towards a bottom of the funnel or a middle of the funnel sale. But then there's always the case where you start a campaign on an interruption platform like Meta, and maybe your ads actually don't resonate and they don't move the needle on anything else. Like you have to look at that too. Like then that's like, holy crap, my top of funnel interruption-based marketing isn't working. I need to rethink my creative. I need to rethink my messaging. Like you have to think, this is why AI is never going to take over agencies. It's just never going to happen. I was on the phone with like a common friend of ours today, and he's like, oh, I'm creating AI scripts like for to like eliminate agencies. I'm like, great, good luck. I mean, at first blush, I was sort of like, holy crap, he's smart enough to probably do it. But the point is like, it's not going to happen.
Well, when the sales team and the client's lead generation campaign, but then that sales team never reports on a closed deal, then AI just goes haywire in the wrong direction because the data was wrong. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's because the sales team went out for drinks that night and didn't update the system.
That's true. Somebody forgot to update their Salesforce, right?
Yeah. Right. The API connection broke and I spent $600,000 in the wrong direction. So what's funny is just has to be good marketers. I have a fun and another tiny little use case and it happened today. And I'm going to share screen. This is what I love about this. Story time.
It's like story time. It really is. It's like, I feel like I'm going to bed right now. It's like, John Moran tells a story. Once upon a time, there was an ad account. So yeah. Head on over to perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. John's going to do some story time here. So
let's do
for
it.
All you guys out there. As you're drawing up the screen share, like I'm looking at all the different episodes and trying to make sure that we hit on a lot of these. So many of these that you've done are on Performance Max. So I feel like we are painting a broad brush here. I don't know as if we're necessarily addressing each individual episode, like the one from November 2nd, 2021, where you say the six most critical Google ad campaigns are general brand, competitor, DSA, remarketing, and display. That could be its own little episode. But
yeah, it still works a little bit.
It still does.
Yeah, that's what's interesting is, you know, all the stuff that I did from cookie cutter standpoints, if I would have used them more as a blueprint to that client's unique top line goals and in conjunction with everything else that is being marketed or driven traffic to that company, there is no two similar structures. There's blueprints, but they are always interrupted. It's like diagnosing like a patient that has an illness. It's like, well, the foot hurts. Oh, it must be broken. No, we x-rayed it and the bone's not broken. Uh-oh. Like, you can't do that. It's, oh, sales are down. Let's crank up ad spend. Actually, when you crank up ad spend, your amount of new visits goes down. Uh-oh. Like, okay, now that's the thing too, is you have to look at how are those platforms trying to work only for themselves and then reverse engineer that to say, how do I leverage that? I found out a way to now leverage Performance Max rather than trusting in it. It's like, I know it's going to go after return traffic. I know it's going to go after brand. I know it's going to over-remarket. And I know it's going to try to get existing customers. What is that worth to me? A lot less than it used to be now.
And if you were Google, wouldn't you do the same?
You know what's funny is they built an amazing product. It works so well. The problem is it works too well. Everybody that's ever wanted to buy from you ever, it will attract. Yes. Even the wrong person? Oh, yeah. Yeah. People that you don't want, got those too.
Yeah. No, it's like it's the same really on the meta side. You just have to be very, very intentional. And we did a show earlier today, which actually might come out like after this show, where we go through Meta's exclusions now are better than they were probably 3 to 6 months ago. So can you actually target, and if you use a third-party tool, can you actually measure, and by looking at Shopify, can you measure your NCAC versus your CAC? it's possible to be able to do that. And exclusions actually do have an impact, more so now than they were before, which is counterintuitive because Meta wants to make itself look as good as possible. Why should it exclude previous buyers, previous website visitors, previous everyone? Because they just want to go for the lowest hanging fruit as possible and make their platform look as good as it possibly can. So anyway, so that's coming up in the next show. But the point is that you have to have some intelligence around this and be able to intuitively look into the data and determine what's the best next step. And that's the key to this
whole thing. Exactly right. And I'm gonna screen right. share here for John Ryan's story time.
Story
get
time.
Around
because it's
around
almost children. My bedtime. By the way, it's very late here.
I'll lull you to sleep.
I'm gonna be snoring by the end of this. I think. John, tell me a story.
Gather around, children. Tell you the story about quality inbound traffic. There once was a man named John who opened his laptop and typed in as.google.com.
That's right, MCC.
So this all is going to be blurred out. So because I want to make sure I can protect the client's identity and everything, and so I'm going to have to kind of share a little bit of. Just got to trust me right now. This is a client here that we put on our good marketer hat again. We're running, you know, a TCPA bidding strategy on an inbound search campaign. We're running broad match and trying to basically use the algorithm and leverage the algorithm in smart bidding in order to do the work for us. And it was working. It was working okay. The funny thing is, though, that it was starting to decay. Now, we have a slight tracking issue that really doesn't have anything to do with this. But we saw that we're having less cost and an ad spend, and we saw that we're having less sales. So things are kind of on the decline. And I said, what if I just exact match it, increase the CPC, shoot myself to the top of the ranks, become number one for good inbound quality traffic? I'm like, okay. So we did that. And now our cost went up 285% today. I did track a conversion here, but that's all fake because I actually look at the back end. And this part here will also be blurred for you guys. Mm-hmm. So this is the actual sales that we have today from the campaign. So we have $600 in cost. Google says we had one sale. We actually have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What's nice about this is just spiking up the traffic. We went from basically 2 sales yesterday, 6 sales now today so far. So spent $500, made $1,500. 3 mer. Excellent. On today. And all I did was shoot up my CPC from $8 up to $12. That's a hemorrhaging type of cash. There's one click in there for $29. But I was like, what if I just put my good marketing hat back on and said, good high quality traffic at the top of the page for really good inbound search terms. I don't care what the CPC is. I don't care what the cost is. I don't care about any of the metrics. Let's just see if this is going to kick us back in the right direction. My Opti score, quote unquote, went down. I'm like, I'm 42% now, according to Google, because I'm using manual bidding and that's a sin. But the good marketer hat came back on and said, I care less about the metrics. Let's see if this actually helps this company. And that's where we get analysis paralysis. You got to use broad match. You got to use smart bidding. It's like, well, what about a person that's just going to search and probably, if we're the first one, probably going to buy stuff from us. And hey, it worked.
Yeah. Click on the first ad and boom.
Novel
from
idea.
8 to 12. Was that just, I mean, it's obviously, that's like your excellence increasing by 50%, correct? So yeah. How did you come to that conclusion? That's just all previous experience. Like, how did you come to that? Why isn't it like 8 to 10? Or are you just sort of new, or you've known this customer?
Yeah.
Like, what was the rationale behind that?
A couple things. So one thing that I looked at is where were my conversions coming in when manual or when automated bidding was giving me good conversions, and it was happening around the $11 to $13 mark. So my lower CPCs are lower on the page, but those search terms that had low CPCs are also really similar to the search terms that had high CPCs that were attributing sales. So when you're typing in, and I'm just going to use my bad example, it's not this, but if you type in black truck rim versus a red truck rim, it's like, okay, it's about the same thing. You know, someone's looking for like red color, black color rims on their truck, those type of things. But one is getting a $3 click and no conversions. The other one's getting a $9 click and is actually getting a 6% conversion rate. So when you're looking at, that's pretty much just indicative of placement. So if I become more aggressive, and I actually have some search terms in here that were hitting $41 and $31 and $29 and $28 and $14 today because I just kept spiking it up to see what would happen. But yeah, we went up 45% in CPC and sales just started rolling in. And on my one sale, I'm tracking a 5.56% conversion rate. I have 18 clicks and 6 sales. That is 33% conversion rate by just spiking it up to the top and say, I can pause attribution right now. I can not even have attribution at this point in time. I still would have made that same decision because I took off my analysis paralysis hat, put on my good marketer hat and said, I think this is going to work.
You're logically just sitting back and like looking at the data and saying, okay, that decision makes sense based upon what I'm seeing in this particular case. What was your look back period? Were you looking at the last week? Were you looking at the last day?
Yeah, I usually do 30 days typically just because there is seasonality in this business and I didn't want to go back too far. But also looking at things year over year, I love so much better. One thing that I always do in my analytics is when things are trending up or down, I don't compare them to the previous period. I compare them to the previous year. That really will tell you a good story about what's actually going on. Hey, another story time. The other company, now I'm a part owner of this company, so we don't have to blur anything out of this. This is like a personal brand.
No blurring necessary.
But yeah, we don't even have to blur this one out. Everyone gets to see John exposed.
And you are wearing pants today, I did notice. That's sort of a departure for you on these podcasts.
I had to put them on because I knew it was going to be
Well, I know you're like home alone. So, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, hey, it's late in the day. You just got to get comfortable.
That kind of thing. You look at something like this. You're like, oh, man, we're down 5% last week. Yeah, we have 5% less traffic. Conversion rate's down 20%. You know, what's going on? And we start to look at things like too isolated. Oh, no, we're losing subscriptions. The online store is going down. And then you back it out to like the previous year. And it's like, okay, we're actually, you know, 15% up. And then we look at the last 365 days and we're like, oh, okay. Well, like, we're trending well. Like, it's a really sustainable, perfect scale.
That's a beautiful chart right there, by the way.
Right? I like that. And I get my little cool little lines here. You've
now got, well, you have to go to our YouTube channel to see like the beautiful lines that John just drew.
Yeah, it'll be an Easter egg for you all there. Yeah, but that's what's nice is looking at things holistically, you have to always compare. Last week, there was a holiday. This year, was it the same holiday? Did the anniversary? Yes, on the same week. Okay. And so all you have to, those things are what I always will look at is look back windows is always compare week over week for sure for trending. But then compare that to previous period. And you're like, oh, okay, things aren't maybe actually bad. We're in the ebb of the flow.
Right. I think that's a good lesson for all of us. I think there's a tendency. There's a tendency to look really, really short term, get discouraged oftentimes. It's like the year over year. If you're making progress year over year, even like incremental progress, that's pretty good as a business. Like a lot of businesses just can't sustain or can't even like move forward. But you're looking at it like a different frame here. And it's not that short term frame. Obviously, it depends on what the buying cycle is for the individual business. It's a huge factor here. Not everyone buys in 7 day and 28 day increments, as we know. But yeah, looking at that, it gives you a much more holistic view. And that's for those of you who are listening or worried about like losing your job. And everyone now is talking about like, oh, media buyers and agencies are just going to be out of business because of AI. It's total bullshit. It's because of this kind of stuff. Yeah. And I think
it's exactly
right. So, hey, we're trying to create the next generation of like agencies here. And obviously pretty excited to have you on board and doing this together. Make sure that this was not just going to be the 15th and the last time I think you're going to be on the show. My guess is that you'll probably come on a few times more after this, but it's nearly my bedtime. So I have to end the show here and I haven't eaten dinner yet. I know it's like 3 hours earlier for you and
it's still light out for me.
Yeah, it's still light. Like it's been dark here for like 4 hours. So, but once again, we will leave links in the show notes for previous episodes that John was on there, but I encourage you to not go back and take everything as gospel because a lot of stuff has changed. So hopefully we've been able to help you with that here because it's been a big question we've had whenever you come on. It's like, I'll go back and I'll listen. Stuff changes so quickly, especially when it comes to Performance Max. I know you've been really on the cutting edge of that. Now, hopefully today, got a better idea as to where that fits in your overall marketing plan. So make sure that you do subscribe and leave a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm talking about you on Spotify. We need some ratings over there. You don't even have to put in a review. So it's so simple. Just 5-star all the way, right, John?
All
just,
the time.
Just 5 stars.
You probably do it when, DoorDash delivers your food. Do it for us.
Absolutely. Or when you finish up like an Uber, whatever, 5. You don't even have to put in a tip. Nothing.
No tips.
We don't even
ask for a percentage.
Just give the guy a 5-star. Yeah. So follow me over on LinkedIn, as well as we'll give a plug for Kasim, because Kasim, like, all he has now is his socials. So it's like the poor guy. You know, he's in like the Driven Mastermind, his socials. He's trying to be like the new philosopher at Kasim Aslam. We love him, but he's not here, so we can talk about him. And make sure that if you haven't watched the John Storytime here, we're over on our YouTube channel, perpetualtraffic.com/YouTube. So on behalf of John Moran, Chief Strategist at Tier 11, so appreciate you coming on here late at night, missing your dinner. Until next show, see ya.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic.